whatever it looks like, whatever it takes, I don't care. Do whatever you want to do in my life. I want it. He'll do it. He'll meet you in that place.
Yes.
Always. And that really means whatever it looks like. You with me? All righty. Thanks. Huh? Yeah, we're going to pull the refrigerator boxes later for all of you.
Awesome.
Okay. Let me make a few announcements. Karen, where is you? You come help me before we take up an offering.
If you give her that.
Does this need a new battery, or is it just because it's weird?
It's just weird.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh,
okay.
Just to let you all know, if you were not able to come and register this morning and have one of our prophetic teams give you a word, we are going to have some prophetic teams tomorrow between 8:30 and 9:20. For those of you that might come and just receive that ministry, we'll be doing that again tomorrow. Also, the audio and Ustream from today is already up online. If you want to listen to it, it's asinwars.org. under the conference, or you can click on the header and it'll take you directly to that. And I'll be trying to get them posted as quickly as I can as we go through the conference. And anybody that wants to watch it, it is live streaming. You can let them know that as well. And then also, anytime through the conference, if you want to donate by credit card or debit card, just see me.
Amen. Lord really bless me, and I have several people in my life that just keep things going. Donna was saying that she was Rosemary to another bishop, and so Rosemary is such a blessing in her skills in terms of the church and the diocese and archdiocese and all those things I do. But Karen is the ministry director for Asinwars, and if it weren't for Karen, these conferences wouldn't happen. When we travel and do conferences, they wouldn't happen, and Africa wouldn't have happened, because that was an Asinwars event too. We ministered to mostly CEC people, but it wasn't a CEC thing, it was an Asinwars thing. And so like this summer, we got a conference in Kansas City and a conference in Georgia, and then we go to Brazil in September. Any of you who would like to go on that trip to Brazil, it's September 28th. Until the 8th of October, you just say something to us and we'll see how God works that out. And so so Karen just keeps it going, and she keeps that website going. And so I just want to thank God for Karen, because a lot of people have been blessed because of Karen's faithfulness. And she's also a minister herself. She doesn't just administrate. That's really not her passion, but she does that. And so let's just bless Karen. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, God. Amen.
So what we're going to do now, we're going to take up an offering and just seek the Lord about what he'd have you to give. Just ask him. You know, I'm not going to do, I'm not going to pressure you. If I have to pressure you, God doesn't want your money. You know, he wants you to give because you're being blessed, because you love him. And, you know, we talk about that years ago. We talk about why we raise hands in worship. I asked the Lord one day and he said, because it's too hard to stand on your head.
No.
And so for me about giving, it's not that I'm afraid to talk to you about giving. That's not anything. I'm glad to do that. It's a blessing to you. But we should be at a place where we bury the plates in the yard, and you're all asking, where is the opportunity to give? That's really where God wants us to be.
It's a good word.
You know? And so I'm not afraid to say something. I'm just not going to try to pressure you. But I just trust that the holy pressure of just, it's part of who we are as worshipers. And so I just encourage you, just if you have checks, make them out to Asinwars. We'll do this again tomorrow night to give you an opportunity. And what this will do, I don't get anything from this. The church doesn't get anything from it. It'll go to bless Mike and his ministry. It'll go to bless Asinwars. And this is what Karen does full time. Is Asinwars, and she keeps this thing rocking and rolling, and we trust it's going to grow even in the future.
Amen.
And so as you give, just know you're giving to something that we believe is sowing into revival, not just here in Selma and the country, but in the world. Because we have a conference in Maryland, so we're going in lots of different places, and we're going to see those of you who read the devotionals, you know, I publicly repent of it being so inconsistent. There's nobody's fault but mine. But I've even had a couple of things happen today that's going to make it easier for me, especially with schedule stuff, just to post things up there. Those of you who are Song of Solomon lovers, we've kind of taken a month or two break. We're going to kick it back in probably next week, just begin to do Song of Solomon stuff. And so we want to finish that whole deal. So we have a devotional, Song of Solomon, about a two-year devotional when we're done. So just sow into this. I believe it's something you can believe in. And I believe God's hand and favor is on Aslanroy. Lord, I just pray and thank you for the opportunity to bless you, Lord, and to sow into the things of the kingdom. So Holy Spirit, just speak to each heart even now. What is an act of faith and worship to you? In Jesus' name, amen. And anytime during the, like tomorrow, you want to, if you just put, we'll have these plates back there, and just put it, you have something you want to give, if you put it in these plates, not the box, it'll go to Aslanroy's. And again, just write your checks out to Aslanroy's. You can put cash, if it's in these plates sitting back there on that table, you can just put it in there anytime you want to. Anybody who gives a check over $10,000 will send you a coffee cup.
There it is.
It'll have me and my dog Henry, a picture of us, sent to you. Yes, well, she doesn't love me as much as Henry does, so he's earned that place. My children have actually been taken out of the will. And I got a little picture of Henry in the legal document. Henry. Everything goes to this dog.
And we're going to pray deliverance later.
Yes.
For Archbishop.
No, yeah. I don't want that spirit gone.
Okay.
I want to keep that one. Amen. Well, we're so grateful again for Mike and for Roxanne coming. And we blessed him today because they got to eat at Laney's.
It's awesome.
And so I know that he's happy and joyful.
It is.
And so, just come, brother.
Thank you.
Minister to us.
Thank you. Hey, good evening, everyone. How many of you were not here today when I spoke? Anybody? Oh, great. That's awesome. Wonderful. Then I'll just preach what I did this afternoon again. It'll be great, won't it? Yeah. No, it's all right. No, I've got some good things. Yeah, barbecue pork, coleslaw, potato salad, and then the bishop was kind and offered us some sides, which included corn nuggets, fried green tomatoes, and on top of that, I had peach cobbler. I know I should repent and fast for the next week, but we're going to Delaney's, I think, again tomorrow, so that'll wait. That'll just wait. So anyway, everybody smile. It's great to be here. It's great to share this time with you. And we are really blessed as we had some time with Judge Armstrong today and just seeing what God is doing in terms of the transformation of the different mountains here in Selma and the amazing things that are taking place. And y'all are from Selma, need to understand that this is not happening in a lot of places throughout the country or the world. It's really a rare commodity. Somebody needs to say amen to that. I mean, come on, you need to recognize that. You know, once again, let's not be like Jacob, who, you know, laid his head on a rock and then he didn't realize that he was in the midst of an open heaven and he was in the midst of God doing something, seeing a vision that very rare, you know, seeing a dream that not many people had ever seen. So incredible things are happening here. So we're just so blessed by your hospitality and your love for us. It's just amazing. It's awesome to have my wife Roxanne here. We have a real praise to give you tonight. I have a son and a daughter-in-law in Galesburg, Illinois, which is in the middle part of the state, closer to the Quad Cities. They've been expecting, we have three grandkids right now. We have a fourth one on the way. They've been expecting their second child, a baby boy Hutchings, which is the first baby boy Hutchings that there is. So since I'm an only child and Nate was my only son, getting a baby boy Hutchings is kind of an important thing to me. And yesterday, the baby's due in just a few weeks. And yesterday, my daughter-in-law went to the doctor and was getting an ultrasound. And during the ultrasound, they heard a very significant heart murmur. Heard it very strong, and they were so concerned that the doctor said, we need to get you in to the pediatric cardiologist in Peoria, which there's a level one trauma center there. There's a children's hospital there. And so, as a matter of fact, it's interesting. My oldest daughter worked in the pediatric intensive care unit at the same hospital. So she understands what it is to have newborn babies who have heart issues. And so we learned about that yesterday. And as Mark and Rosemary are picking us up, and so we've been in prayer, called them last night, and declared, had her put her hand on her tummy and declared the promises of God over that baby and healing. And, you know, we've known enough about how things go that, you know, if everything was looking like there was a really bad heart murmur there. It looked like when the baby was born, might have to have heart surgery. So all that stuff is going on. But we determined that I would rather believe the report of the Lord. And that is, we want to declare healing. So that's what we did. So this afternoon, my daughter-in-law went to the pediatric cardiologist. And there was no heart murmur whatsoever. Everything was completely whole and healed. And everything is great. So just want to give thanks to God. He's just amazing. And, you know, you can explain away. You can go ahead, if you're a rationalist, go ahead and explain away all the miracles you want to, that something was happening. I just say it was a miracle. It was a healing miracle, and I receive it in Jesus' name. So having Roxanne here, I'm able to just share with you a couple of things about this. We have some stuff on the back table that if you're interested in purchasing it, it goes not only to bless us, but to bless Global Awakening. When I was here last year, I did a seminar on post-traumatic stress disorder. And how many of you were here for that? Anybody? A few of you? It's a training on learning how to pray for post-traumatic stress as well as get healed yourself. We've got it on a DVD. It's about 3.5 hours. And it takes you through the entire training of how to take the healing prayer model that I received as a download from the Holy Spirit, and pray for anybody with post-traumatic stress. There's also a laminated prayer card that has the healing prayer model on it that you can purchase. I've been getting, once again, it's amazing the testimonies that happen. I got a testimony from one of our second-year students that actually came here to Selma from Global School, and she was sitting at lunch one day, and there was a guy that was there at the lunchtime, and guy was talking about how his dad had post-traumatic stress in Vietnam and he'd love to pray with him. And Anita said, well, you know, here, let me go get something for you. So she went to her Bible and got this prayer card and took it to him and was getting ready to give it to him. And as he began, continued to talk to her, she realized by the discernment of the Spirit that he had post-traumatic stress as well. And so she says, hey, why don't you just let me read this over you and see what happens? Because although Anita had attended the training, she had never actually prayed. So she literally held up the prayer card, and she began to read through the entire thing. And there's 8 steps here. And by the time she got to number 7, the guy was completely healed. I mean, he cried, he wept, he got set free. He slept all night for the first time in years. So that weekend this is in a church in Georgia, the guy got up and gave his testimony, and there were the pastor, because anytime you have a testimony for something, the power of the testimony creates an opportunity for the same thing to be healed again. So 2 guys came out of congregation had PTSD. So the guy that had gotten healed by Anita doing this thing, basically he did the same thing. He took the prayer card and just read through it with the guys, and they got healed as well. So in this period of 2 days, 3 guys, 3 Vietnam veterans got completely healed of post-traumatic stress. So somebody praise God, will you? So there's a DVD and a CD back there if you'd like to purchase it. One of Randy's new books is The Essential Guide to the Power of the Holy Spirit. And it is it's a tremendous book. It is something that I think if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, how He works, and what is going on in this day, it's a great book, and that's back there. I've also got the very opening session, both in GSI and Global School of Supernatural Ministry, called Developing a Kingdom Mindset. And it is essential that if we're going to experience the things of the kingdom of God, our minds have got to be set in such a way that we get rid of all the religious stuff, the traditional stuff, and the unbelieving stuff, and believe in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. So that's back there. I want to take us for just a minute into a place of encouragement, first of all. Because how many of you know that prophecy is primarily for the encouragement and the building up and the comforting of the body of Christ? And it's very important that we understand that. You see, you have a lot of people talking about prophecy in this day, about four blood moons, and about, you know, and all, and, you know, we have people in the White House of the Antichrist, all this other stuff that is, excuse me, can I just go ahead and say it? A very complex theological term. It's baloney. I know some of you, I just made you very angry at me. That's okay. Because I want to say something to you very clearly about something. I think we need to understand something. That you either believe all of the negative, and therefore it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy over you and over our nation and over this world. Are there bad things that are happening in this world? Absolutely. But I believe God is greater than any bad thing that's happening in our world now. And I, you know what? I believe that the power of the love of Jesus Christ is greater than ISIS. I believe the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than any army or any other religion. I mean, let's understand something. There's at one point that Islam was sweeping the world. And although it took a hold in certain places, it was backed off significantly. And although we seem to be, you know, from what you hear in the news, we seem to be hearing over and over again how bad things are and Islam's taking over, everything like that. I'll tell you what, there is no greater power than the love and power of Jesus Christ. Could I get an agreement in the room from somebody? So first of all, I want to say it again. Isaiah 60 is true. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And though darkness cover the earth and deep darkness the people, upon you the light will shine. So this is our greatest day to shine. And one of the ways that we are shining with the glory of God is we are allowing ourselves to become gates of heaven, where we begin to understand the very secrets of the kingdom, and they become downloaded to us. And that's why we're talking about dreams and visions and unusual ways that God speaks in His language. But I want us to encourage one another right now, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to somebody on your left and then somebody on your right and make sure that they say it back to you as well. And I just know, I'm going to give you what to say. Don't turn yet. What you're going to do is you're going to say, you have the mind of Christ and you are a dreamer of big dreams. So I'm going to say it one more time. You have the mind of Christ and you are a dreamer of big dreams. So I want you to turn to the person on your right first and say it. You have the mind of Christ and you are a dreamer of big dreams. Now turn to the person on your left. You have the mind of Christ and you are a dreamer of big dreams. Now, you just made a prophetic declaration over every person that, number one, depending upon what they thought about their own minds, You just set into place a biblical truth that anyone who is in Christ has the mind of Christ. And number two, you declared over each person that they are able to receive the language of God for their lives right now. Not just to be a dreamer, but to be a big dream dreamer. Because see, the thing you need to understand about yourself, everybody look at me, it's very important you see this. You are God's big dream. You are God's big dream. The fact that you are still here, you are still on this side of the sod, you are still breathing oxygen, and you still have something to give for Jesus Christ means that God's dream for you is not over with. And if you have not seen fulfilled all that you desire, I guarantee you that God is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's just that resonating over and over in my head again. You ain't seen nothing yet over many of your lives. Because what you don't understand is you gauge everything according to time. You gauge everything according to how many years do I have left? How many years have I spent here? What has happened and what's gone on and what has my life been worth up to this point? That's not the way God judges your life. How many of you know that he took 30 years for Jesus to come to the place that he gave 3.5 years to completely transform the nature of the reality of this world in only 3.5 years? What if your entire life was preparation, was set up for 6 months of the greatest move of God that you were part of, and that was your life? And God, so many people came to know Christ because of what he was doing through you, and that the glory of God came down through you, and you began to move in the power of God in such a way that hundreds of thousands came to faith in Jesus Christ. And when you stood before the throne of Christ on that day, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you were able to bring hundreds, if not millions, of people with you to say, this is the fruit of the ministry that God gave me, and it only took me 6 months to do it. Would that be okay with you? Well, you know what? You're going to take more than one, brother. I'm telling you what. Because he told us to be fruitful and multiply. So anyway, I want you to turn with me back to John chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just thank you, Lord, for your presence here right now. I thank you for your power and your grace and your mercy that's here right now, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I referred to this. We didn't go there today, but I referred to the story this afternoon in talking about getting an understanding of why dreams are God's language and why they're so important to us. Let's go back to verse 43. This is the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. I'll read this again. I want to talk just for a few minutes how we think about our minds and what we realize the context of our lives are is critical for getting an understanding of how important dreams and visions and just hearing the voice of God is for us. Verse 43, it says, the next day, Jesus purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip, and Jesus said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus had just given him a word of knowledge. It was a word of knowledge he gave him. Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Second word of knowledge. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And this is a picture again, referencing back to the dream that Jacob had in Genesis chapter 28, where he saw a ladder going up to heaven and angels were ascending and descending. Jesus is identifying himself as that ladder, as the conduit, if you will, the conduit of heaven coming down to earth, and then earth and what's happening in earth going back up to heaven to praise God. Now, why is this important? Because you need to understand something about your mind. That according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I want to bring to you tonight the idea of your mind as being a gate of heaven. The idea of your renewed mind as being a gate of heaven. You see, I have always been, because I was raised in America and I was taught by American teachers and I was raised with a Greek mindset and with an idea that it was all about words and it was about concepts and it was those type of things. I was never that much of an image kind of a guy. Now, I like watching TV just like anybody else, and I read comic books when I was a kid, and I enjoyed all of that. But I was mostly about words. And if you asked me to draw something, if you asked me to draw another person, I drew great stick figures. I mean, I could form that little circle that was a head, and I could put a little few ears on there and draw a little nose and a little mouth and have a stick and two arms coming out and two legs coming down. That was great. And that was about the extent of my drawing capabilities. Anybody else in the room? So anyway, that's me. But you know, when I came into the fullness of the Spirit and began walking with Christ, I began to understand something, that there were some things about the way that I thought, not only about myself and what I was capable of, but how God wanted to speak to me and through me that needed to change. Because our God is a God who's very much about images. He's very much about kind of some very strange symbols and pictures and things like that. And both the Old and the New Testament is full of those things. And let me say to you tonight, you don't have to be afraid of those things. See, I was afraid of those things. I mean, when you look at Ezekiel and you see about the wheel within a wheel and all that stuff going on and all these visionary things, and it's like, wow, what? How weird is this, right? And you look at things like Joel and, you know, the moon's turning into blood and all this other stuff. I mean, it gets to be kind of weird and scary, and it's kind of like, man, that must have been for that time. I don't really want to have that. But the reality is that's all an unfolding revelation of who our Father is and how He works in the world. See, you have to understand something about the nature of revelation knowledge. From the beginning of Genesis all the way through to Revelation, to the end of Revelation, it's an unfolding of the purposes and character and the grace of God. And it's found ultimately in its greatest expression in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to understand that it's in Jesus Christ that we have the fullness of the deity represented, that the greatest expression of who God is found in the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I get an agreement in the room? And if He identified Himself as the conduit of heaven, of angels ascending and descending, I mean, that's kind of a weird-looking picture, but it goes all the way back to Genesis. Then it says something, if we are to be conformed to His image, not His concept, but His image, then we need to understand that our minds can become a conduit as well of downloading the amazing resources of heaven, not only into our lives, but into the lives of others around us. Because you see, dreamers, people who dream big dreams that come from God, not only dream for themselves, but they dream for others. And when we begin to declare the downloads of what God is doing with us in our dream language, in our vision language, in those times at night when God is able to have our focused attention and speak to us, we begin to declare the very purposes of God for not only ourselves, but for everybody around us. And there comes something on us that's the glory of heaven. You see, if you believe that God can speak to you and He wants to speak to you in this amazing language, then all of a sudden something begins to happen. First of all, when your mind, when you begin to see your mind as a gate of heaven, you begin to have a passion for a world that you can't see yet. How many of you know that most of us can't see heaven yet? Anybody? Anybody see heaven yet? I didn't get to see it today, I'm sorry. None of us really can figure out what heaven is, and there's not a lot of description in the Bible about what heaven really looks like. We have little pictures and things like that. We have a lot of gospel songs that talk about heaven, but I don't know how biblically based they are. Everybody smile. You know, we talk about the cabin, you know, and all that other stuff, and I don't know, I just don't really think there must be too many cabins, but then again, I don't like living in cabins, so that's my own personal prejudice. My point being is that the Bible purposefully doesn't describe much about heaven, because I think it's a world that cannot be described in our human terms, but it can be expressed in imagery, and it can be expressed in the language of dreams. And so when you begin to have dreams that talk about amazing places, that give you imagery of glorious places that are full of flowers and things like that, that look like something that out of this world, I feel like that you're beginning to have a connection. Your renewed mind becomes a gate of heaven. And you begin to download those things that begin to give you a peace and a grace that even though you go through some difficult times in this world, it's the passion of a world that you can't see that keeps you going in Jesus' name. That's the glory of dreaming big dreams. That's the glory of having a renewed mind that is full of the Word of God. And the more that you see, if you start skipping all of the prophets where they're doing all sorts of weird things, what you're doing, as all the stuff falls out of my Bible, what you're doing is you're robbing yourself of the tapestry of symbolism that God wants to use in your dreams. See, if we begin to understand that the revelation that God gave men like Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and He gave to John in the book of Revelation are all part of the amazing palette of colors and symbols that God wants to use to express the glory of His kingdom of heaven to us, then we miss out. We don't get that. So a lot of times we dream dreams and we think, well, that must have been last night's pizza, when in reality it was God coming, wanting to really speak to you, really give you a download of something He not only wants to bless you with, but He wants to bless the rest of the people around you with. So I want to say today, again, believe to see yourself as a dreamer of big dreams. And that as you renew your mind with the truth of God's Word, you don't have to be afraid of some of the dreams that you get that you can't explain or understand yet. Can we go back to my PowerPoint, please, if we could? I started this afternoon, and I'm going to continue it. And I'll wait for the PowerPoint to pull up here. But I want to give you 7 reasons why you should listen to your dreams. That they are not, go on, yeah. I need you to go ahead and advance if you would for me. There it is. You're awesome. This is really important that we understand these 7 reasons. Because when the bishop said that he really wanted to talk about dreams and visions in this conference, I got excited and challenged at the same time. I got excited because I've had dreams in my life that have been very significant in my understanding of how the Father feels about me. I had a dream one time at my last church that I pastored. We were standing, we had a sanctuary, and then the foyer out there actually didn't have solid walls. It had a wall, but it went up, and the foyer just had a bunch of folding doors. So you could kind of see different parts of the foyer all the way through the back. And we were standing right here in the sanctuary at that time, and I was talking with somebody, and walking down the foyer was Barack and Michelle Obama and their two girls. And they were walking kind of this way, and the sense I got was that they had come to Trinity. They had come to our church. And I hadn't had a chance to greet them yet. It was the end of the service, but they had come, but they were on their way out. And I mean, there was no secret service around them, but they were there. And I wanted to go, hi guys, because they had just been elected president. And I don't care what your politics are, when the President of the United States shows up at your church, you're excited. Could I get an amen?
Amen.
So, you know, what was interesting about that dream was that same night, my youth pastor had a dream about Barack Obama as well, being in the church. And so we asked God, you know, we said, Lord, what's that about? Well, whenever somebody like that comes in, that's a picture of the presence of God coming. It's authority coming. And for us in that dream, Barack Obama represented the very presence of God coming with greater authority and power into our midst. And over those next 2 years, what took place was a faith rose up in our congregation that was a very conservative, frugal congregation that had not really, the building that we were meeting in was paid off, but we had a food pantry that was busting out of the seams. And God began to lead us on a journey where in a short period of about 2.5 years, we were able to raise the funds and build a 12,500 square foot building for the food pantry, completely debt free. And there came up, yeah, come on, you can give thanks to God for that. I had something to do with it, but I told God during my entire ministry, God, I never want to be part of a building program. I've seen too many of my pastor friends, you know, get burned out over building programs and having to stand up and ask for money for mortgages, and I never want to be part of that. And then when he told me you're going to build a building, I said, well, then it's got to be debt-free if I'm going to build it. That's all there is to it. And we did it in 2.5 years. Later on, I had another dream about Barack Obama, except this time he came and approached me. Now, I had a 1990 Chevrolet Suburban that we had bought, a big, huge, honking, big vehicle. And I took a lot of pride in it, didn't I? I loved that thing. She hated it. It used gas like crazy, but it was both like a big SUV, but it was also a truck as well. I mean, it was all enclosed and it was huge, and I just loved cruising through town with it. And I had this dream that Barack Obama showed up with one of his daughters and said, I really need to borrow your truck. So I said, okay, here's the keys. So I gave him the keys, and we were standing on a dirt road, on a kind of a gravel road. And I remember standing there, it was kind of funny, but at the time I was sad. I stood there as they drove off with my Suburban, and the thought came to my mind, you're never going to see that truck ever again. I said, come on, guys, it's funny. It's not supposed to be anything. But it was just this idea that my truck was gone, and I was not that he was stealing it, but it was just this idea, I'm never going to see it again. And I asked the Lord about it. I said, what's that about? Well, once again, if somebody in authority, like a president or a king, comes into your dreams, a lot of times that represents Jesus. And it was about that the vehicle that was my ministry was leaving, and God was going to bring another ministry my way, which actually happened within a year. I moved, and I had no clue. I mean, at that time, I planned on pastoring that church for the rest of my days. And within a year, I'd received the invitation to come and direct the Global School of Supernatural Ministry. So folks, this is why listening to our dreams are so important. Because you need to understand that sometimes there's some things that God, either we can't receive or God will not speak to us plainly. So he needs to begin to set us up to be able to receive what he's bringing our way. Because it talks about us in the Bible that the Lord will always let his friends know what he's about to do. But he may use different forms of language to do it. So don't get freaked out about your dreams. Relax. Today we talked about how you prepare yourself at night. Tonight before you go to bed, give your nighttime to God. Say, Lord, I give you my nighttime. I just thank you for your protection over my mind and my body. I ask you that if you please come and speak to me. And Father, use this nighttime as a time to download anything you want to me. And I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, that if you begin to approach your sleep in that way, you will begin to receive ideas, strategies, blueprints, the problems that you go to bed with. If you give them to God and dedicate your nighttime to him, that you'll wake up in the morning with either an idea about how to get the problem fixed or a peace of God that God's in control and you'll not have to worry about it anymore. That's how significant your nighttime is. You and I need to understand that our nighttime is not just about getting a good night's sleep. It's about one-third of our lives that is spent in that sleep pattern, and God wants to use all of our lives. Could I get an agreement? So anyway, let's look at seven reasons why we should listen to our dreams. Number one, God declared that he would speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. We read about that in Numbers 12:6. Number two, God declared that he did speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament, which is found in Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. Now I'm going to slow down here just so you guys can write some of this down. So not only did God say ahead of time that he would speak through dreams and visions, but then later on he came back and he said, by the way, I did speak through dreams and visions. In those two scriptures right there. So it's very important that if God, and if you go through, do you understand that there are, multitudes of references? Just look up in your little Bible concordance in your phone or your iPad, your iPod, your knee pad, whatever you have. Look, just type in dream and see how many references to dreams there are. It's just incredible. I was going to count them today and I ended up not having time. Number three, God declares that he will communicate through dreams and visions in the New Testament. So those that say, well, you know, God did that back in the Old Testament. You know, Bill Johnson makes a very important point that I think every one of us needs to hear. We look at what God did with Moses. We see what God did in terms of coming and revealing himself to Moses and speaking to Moses. And it says in Numbers 12 that he spoke to Moses as a friend and face to face. And we look at Moses and say, man, that was just so awesome. There's nobody like Moses. And Bill Johnson just makes the point, simply this. If we get to heaven and we still think that the revelation to Moses is the greatest revelation that God has ever given to anybody, and that was in an old covenant, how much of the revelation of the new covenant have we wasted? How much have we not believed for? Do we not understand that the new covenant is a better covenant? It's a greater covenant with more revelation than all of the Old Testament put together. That we are to press in for greater revelation and greater understanding and greater encounters than anybody had in the Old Testament. That's for you and I. And when we look at those stories in the Old Testament, which we should, our mindset should be, oh God, I wish I could have an encounter like Moses. We should say, God, I believe for a greater encounter than Moses. I believe for a greater encounter than Isaiah. I believe for a greater encounter than anybody in the Old Testament has, because I live in a better covenant. I live in a new covenant. I live in a day of greater revelation, because not only is the Holy Spirit upon me, but he's in me. There's a well of revelation that is in me right now. Okay. There is. Start again. There is a well of revelation called Holy Spirit in me right now. It is a never-ending well that's there for you. See, you have to understand, the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit in two different ways. He speaks of Him as a well, a spring, that is bubbling up inside of you, that is for you, that gives you all the revelation that you need. But then Jesus goes on in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, and He talks about those who thirst will have rivers of living water flowing out of them. So the Holy Spirit is a well for you that is never ending. It'll always be full. You know, when we talk about being empty or dry, what we're actually confessing is we're not tapping into the well that's already there. There is a well already inside of you that is Holy Spirit power and revelation. All we need to do is tap into it. That's for us personally. But there is also the releasing of the living waters of life that we've been talking about all day today and last night as well. And that's the river of living water, not only for us, but for everyone around us. That is the river that was flowing out of the temple that was revealed in Ezekiel, and is a river of living water that keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, and the more we get into it, the deeper it gets and the more we flow. And it's for every one of us. So that's why you must understand that this is for everybody who calls on the name of Jesus, because I've got this, you know, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Anybody know this song? That's the reality of our lives, folks. It's the reality of our lives. And as we, with a renewed mind, become a conduit of heaven coming down to earth, it releases something in our inner being that allows that river to flow in greater and greater measure than ever before. Let's go to number four, another reason. God declares that He will counsel us at night through our dreams. How many of you have ever seen this scripture before? Psalm 16:7. I want you to turn there with me. Bishop, you quoted Psalm 16 earlier today. And I said, that's not a coincidence. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 in Psalm 16 says this: "As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." Everybody look at me. Who are the saints? So who are the majestic ones? That'll shift your ID. That'll shift the way you look at yourself in the mirror every morning. You know, you might want to just start painting a little crown on, you know, put a little crown on the mirror, right? And just say, you know, good morning. Good morning, King. Good morning, Queen. I mean, you know, you need to start thinking of yourself in a more royal way. You need to start thinking of yourself in more of a royal way, that you are an ambassador of a kingdom. You're a son or a daughter that carries the authority of a father who owns it all. He owns it all. And let me say to you right now, think of yourselves as not only saints, but as majestic ones. And why is that important? Because it says in verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me," or "the Lord counsels me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For Thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt Thou allow Thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou will make known to me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy right hand there are pleasures forever." So it is God's good pleasure to counsel you at night. And He does that through dreams. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Next reason should be number five. Rather than our dreams being fatalistic, dreams are calling us to change so that we will not perish. You see, there are times that dreams come as a warning to us. Why does God speak to us in dreams as a warning? Well, sometimes because he can't get our attention any other way. Sometimes our minds are so full of everything else and our lives are so busy that sometimes he'll use a dream to knock us upside the head and say, get something right. I can remember years ago in our marriage that I remember, this goes all the way back to Carterville, but I had a dream one night that I had disappointed Roxanne greatly. And I can remember her crying and crying and crying and crying. And no matter what I did, I couldn't make it right. It was something that was so devastating that she just could not stop crying. And there was nothing, nothing that could be done to stop her sorrow. And I mean, I woke up and I still remember the dream to this day. This has been 30 years ago, and I still remember the dream vividly and clearly. And it was a warning to me about the way that I was treating her and the way that I considered her not as my equal partner, but as somebody that I could choose to do with however I wanted to. Now, we had a great relationship. There was nothing wrong with that, but there was an attitude problem in my heart that was causing a problem in our marriage. And it was God's warning to me that I better get that attitude straightened up because it was going to destroy our marriage and destroy my ministry. That was a warning to me. So the Lord loved me enough and loved our marriage enough to give me that warning. I feel very loved by God. Could I get an agreement in the room? So it's very important for you to understand that just because you have a dream sometimes that unsettles you or is a little bit has a little bit of a turmoil, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's totally not of God at all. It may mean that God is giving you a warning. It may mean that God is speaking to something that's going on in your soul and in your heart, or something maybe you're even thinking about, that he wants to throw up a warning and say, don't do this. You know, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, it talks about how he tried to go to different places and the Holy Spirit would stop him. Now, it doesn't say how he stopped him. He just said he would stop him. He would not allow him to go different places. And I wonder maybe sometimes if that was by a dream. I don't know. But I'm telling you that once we begin to really open up and allow Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, you have the freedom to come and speak to me in these dreams, he will use them very powerfully because you've said yes. He still will continue to speak to you if you don't say yes. But I'm telling you, once you say yes, it's like, wow, I finally can come and really download to them now. I can really come and bring the downloads that I want to them. Every person, I said this afternoon, I'll say it again, every person that I pray for who has sleep problems, when I pray for them at the end, I pray, Father, use their dreams, use their sleep time to bring downloads from heaven. Download strategies and visions and plans and ideas that they would never have thought of themselves, but you can get them in the midst of their dreams. Go to number six. Another reason we should listen to our dreams. God does very significant things within dreams. Today, we looked at Genesis 15, where he established the Abrahamic covenant in a dream. And that was not just a dream, but it was also the reality of what God was doing in Abraham's life. He was cementing a covenant that would not pass. And he actually completed the covenant himself by sending a smoking oven to walk through the pieces instead of Abraham. And the Abrahamic covenant was completed in the midst of a dream state that Abraham was in. That's very significant, folks. It's very significant for you and I to understand that God takes our dream states very seriously. Number 7, God actually grants supernatural gifts through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. I had a picture. Now, this was a very strange picture, but I had a dream one night about a United States senator who I had, to my knowledge, I had never heard his name before. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Everybody smile. But he was a United States senator from another state, and he had, in the dream, he had been given power to kill people with his mind. Now, isn't that strange? And God gave me an opportunity to have a meeting with him. And when I declared the power of God through a prophetic word to him, immediately the power to kill people stopped. And the guy got on his knees and he confessed his sin and he asked me to forgive him. And he got healed. Now, it was very, I had to literally go the next day because the guy's name was on my mind. And I had to go to somebody the next day and say, do you know who this person is? And they said, oh yeah, he's a U.S. senator. He's a sitting U.S. senator right now from this district. And I still have never, I've been to 3 or 4 different quote-unquote dream experts. And I say, why in the world would I mean, I prayed for the guy, I did intercession for him, you know what I'm saying? But the issue of the dream is, for me was not the guy's name. The issue for me was giving me confidence to declare the prophetic word to people in authority. And I began to have confidence that the Lord could speak to me in terms of giving people in power prophetic words. And so people that had spoken into my life as authority figures, I began to speak prophetic words into their lives, and it gave me a confidence to walk in the power of the prophetic word in a way that I'd never had before. Now, I know that's a funny way to go around it, but that's exactly what happened. I had more confidence that I was hearing God clearly because of that crazy dream. I decided that I'd been watching way too much X-Files, and I needed to go watch something else for a while. You know, I don't know what it was, but it was a combination of that. But God used it. God used it. Yes, sir.
So you didn't actually meet with him?
No, I didn't actually meet with him. I didn't. No. I didn't know the guy. I mean, there was no way that I would be able to contact him. I mean, I could have, but it was just such a crazy dream. And I learned later that it was just because I went and I actually got counsel about the dream because it so disturbed me, and I wasn't sure if I had responsibility for it. And so I went. I went to an authority figure, and they said, no, I think this is what it means. It's more about you than it is about this guy. And see, just because somebody appears in your dream that's out of the normal doesn't necessarily mean it can be something significant, but it may be more about you than it is about them. It may be something that God is speaking to you and using them as a picture of what he wants to do through you. So the amazing thing about this opportunity to dream big dreams and listen to our dreams and steward the dreams well is that it begins to open up a whole new realm of walking in the supernatural, of walking in the reality of the kingdom. As I said, I think I said this earlier today, there is a reality that is what we can understand with our 5 senses. We can see, smell, taste, touch, and feel. There's a reality that we walk in that is that the stuff that we can feel with our 5 senses. But how many of you know that's an inferior reality? You know why that's an inferior reality? Because all of this stuff that we can see, smell, taste, hear, or feel is all passing away eventually. The superior reality is what's happening in the kingdom of heaven right now and what's all around us in terms of the kingdom of God. And so the reality that you are the most focused on is what you release every day. If you release the inferior reality on a regular basis, then you're not going to walk in much peace. You're not going to walk in much joy. you're not going to walk in much freedom. You're always going to be worried, concerned, full of anxiety, fear. You're always going to be concerned about this reality right here. But those who walk in the kingdom, who seek first the kingdom of God, and as Matthew 6:33 says, and all these things shall be added to you, they walk in love, peace, joy, patience, goodness, self-control. They walk in a shalom of God that is a wholeness of God because they have set their mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That's Colossians 3. When you set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, you've got your mind focused on the right place. You've got your mind focused on the right reality. And when you walk in that reality, there's no way that you can be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Our problem is we're too earthly minded to be any earthly good. Because we compare what we think ought to happen on earth to what is happening on earth, and all we get is involved is comparing negatives. But when we begin to compare the heavenly reality of the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden we begin to see God's true dream for this world. And instead of complaining about it, instead of being negative about it, we become conduits of that heavenly kingdom coming down into this world. We begin to declare God's purposes over our families, over our churches, over our cities, over our states, over our nations, over our world. When we begin to declare that, then we break the negative prophecies that the enemy is trying to get us to believe. We begin to break the critical, awful, negative religious spirit that's in the church, and all of a sudden we begin to be big dreamers. We begin to believe that Selma, Alabama can walk in the glory of God again, begin to walk in the glory of His kingdom, begin to walk in reconciliation, begin to walk in love, begin to walk in prosperity, begin to walk in glory so that the whole world can look at Selma, Alabama, which was once a curse word to most of the world, and it becomes a blessing instead, that people will say, I want in our town what's happening in Selma, Alabama. That's God's heavenly purposes for this community. But it takes people who dream. It takes people who are open to the realm of the supernatural and of the kingdom of God to dream that kind of bigger dream. And you just started this session out tonight by declaring about yourself and to others that you have the mind of Christ and that you are dreamers of big dreams. Now, there's some of you are stuck. There's some of you because when you were growing up, or even today, you've experienced things in your dreams that are not pleasant. You've experienced things that have not been according to God, and so you begin to shut down that part of your life. And you began to see the nighttime not as a pleasant time where the Father could come and speak to you, but you just wanted to get through the night. For some of us, and as I talked earlier today, particularly those who have horrible traumatic memories, nighttime can be a horrible time for them. But God brings healing to those traumatic memories. And the Lord wants to heal any of you tonight that have difficulty with traumatic memories, or you've had difficulty believing that God wants to speak to you through dreams. See, I want you to see in Revelation chapter 4, John looks up and he sees a door open. And he hears a voice say, come up here. And when John steps through the door, he sees with the eyes the throne room of heaven. He sees the control room of the universe. He sees the worship that is going on 24/7 and all the heavenly beings around worshiping the one true God. And it is the place where all of the universe is controlled. And the reason why John needed to see that was because he was about to enter into a whole revelation of the fullness of revelation of Jesus Christ that included the wiping away from this earth all evil, the judging of those the enemy of God, and of bringing the fullness of the reality of the kingdom of heaven to earth so that heaven and earth are reconnected again. But John first needed to have that vision of stepping through the door to see the throne room of the universe. So I want you right now just to put your hand on top of your head. And close your eyes. And I want to just pray this prayer over every one of you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that everyone in this room are big dreamers. Everyone in this room have the mind of Christ. And everyone in this room have the ability that has been put within them by the power of the Holy Spirit to have their renewed minds be the gates of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, I open the door of revelation through dreams and visions to every person in this room. I open the door to no longer be afraid of dreaming dreams at night. I just declare in the name of Jesus every traumatic memory or image that would cause anybody to have a night terror, night trauma, or a nightmare. I command those traumatic images and memories to dry up and die now in Jesus' name. I command in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, I command right now for the memory center of every person's brain to be healed of any injury from traumatic memories. And I speak peace, I speak healing, and I speak joy right now into that memory center. And by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I say to the memory center, it's okay to wake up. It's okay to remember again. It's okay to remember again the good things of life and all the things that the Father has spoken over your life. And in Jesus' name, I just declare over every person in this room that their minds receive afresh and anew the reality of the mind of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray. All right, take your hand off your head. So tonight you have an assignment. If it's a conference, you get an assignment. And the assignment is this: you go home tonight and you give your night to God. You ask Him to come and download to you whatever He wants to. And you get a piece of paper and a pen and you put it beside your bed. And when you get up in the morning, you write down whatever you get. And then bring it here. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. And we'll see what God is saying. I'm not going to say that I'm going to interpret every dream in this room, because I'm not that great of an interpreter. But I will tell you that I believe God will speak to us and through us through your dreams tonight. And you might say, "Wow, he's taking a big risk." Well, the bishop said we're a big risk taking place. Right? Is that what he said?
Yes.
So since it's a prophetic conference, God's going to speak through your dreams tonight. And he's going to bring healing and release in Jesus' name. If anybody needs any kind of ministry at all tonight, any healing ministry, we're going to be up here to pray for you, as well as the rest of the ministry team. Tomorrow night we're going to do impartation, and we're going to have a great time doing impartation, and it's going to be for a lot of different things. But tonight I really encourage you to go home and get some sleep. Get some sleep, get some rest, and allow the Spirit of God just to speak to you and then be a conduit of heaven coming down to earth to speak through you in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we close. Bishop, do you have anything you want to say? Put out your hands. And sing this song with me. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give thanks to God for this amazing day, will you? Thank you, Jesus.